Yo, 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 what is up, everybody, and welcome back to a week three of the Explover. I'm your host, Joshua Housetown Housel, with my boy,
Ian Spaghetti Sacchetti, also a host.
And welcome to Behind the Sticks UFL Podcast. Boy, were we right about the week of the Explover.
I mean, we did say one game would be an under, and we were wrong. We'll get to that in the weekly roundup, but Explover was right. I think the lowest scoring game was 45. Let me pull up the scores quick. We'll go over this Explover for you real quick.
Wow. I'm still getting over losing my last bet. I was sweating bullets for not the first game, which remind me. Give me a reminder here. Who played first on Saturday?
Was it the Defenders game first? I think it was the Defenders game first. Defenders Roughnecks.
It was Defenders Renegades. And I always mix up the Defenders, the Roughnecks and the Renegades. So I feel like that's par for the course. But yeah, so I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, oh my God, Mr. Spring Football. I thought for sure you were going to text me and be like, so how's DC looking? Because they were looking bad. But then we did it. We came back. I was really proud. I said, I'm not betting that my team's going to give the Renegades their first loss. Their first win. So that made me feel good. And then the Stallions whooped up on the Showboats. So obviously I was feeling good about that. And then I win the third one. I got the Panthers right. And then I get to the Brahmas, the one game that I was more confident than any all week, and let me down.
Yeah, the Brahmas were very disappointing. And then
Battlehawk said F you, Billy. Josh.
They said F you behind the sticks because I lost that parlay too. And I also lost my over and unders because the Panthers basically hit the over themselves. It was 38.5 and they had 34 points.
Yeah.
So it's proof that E.J. Perry listened to the podcast because I said he stank and then he had 5 total touchdowns.
I was sad. Like, he was doing pretty well. And the game was, 9-8 at the very beginning? And then they pulled him for a little bit. They let the other guy in. I don't even know the other guy's name. I'm biased because Perry's my boy. After this week, I told you off pod, I'm a big Panthers fan now.
You're hot on the Panthers?
Apparently I'm hot on half the league. I love half the league. The other half is dead to me.
It sounds like you only don't like the Roughnecks. I think you like every other team.
I do feel some type of way about most teams, actually. So I'm rooting for the Panthers hard, and they pull E.J. Perry out for a little bit, and they give the other guy a try. I'm like, bro, you're going to lose this game for me. I'm sweating bullets here because my parlay, only to come damn Brahmas time. And then the Brahmas looked like they were going to pull it out, just like they did last week. No.
I know. I love Akeem Butler. If you listened last season, he was one of my favorite receivers.
Whew. Didn't expect him to kill us.
Yeah, why did he decide to wake up for this game? Very upsetting.
Because they must listen to the pod, because A.J. McCarron went off too. He was like, oh, you don't think I can do this to the beginning of the game? We'll take this, Housetown.
Yeah, I know. A.J. McCarron's showing why he's got them NFL chops. But we'll talk more about betting in the 4th and 12. Hopefully after 2-for-2 teams, they talk about changing it back to the 4th and 15.
Yes.
So we have a better name for our segment.
So we'll go back to the Defenders Renegades game. Mr. Spring Football was...
Mr. Spring Football himself.
He was in spring form, man. He was lighting us up, and I was like, oh, man, I don't know. It's going to be hard for the Defenders to come back, but I'm pretty sure that we hit a 4th and 12 in this game.
You did.
Made it look easy, and that's how we won.
I think the 4th and 12 might have went to your boy, T. Scott.
Yeah?
I think so.
I could look it up right now, but I can't.
I think he had another one catch this game. But big catches are what matters.
Three. Thank you. Oh my God. Three. His name is Ty Scott, so I was not very far off with just T.
I will not argue with that. But yeah, and then, Stoopsie was out there. More trick plays. I love seeing him. He's at least trying to win a game. I will not blame him and his play calling because he's putting it all out there. He's putting his dick on the table. It's just not working.
Yes, Perez, I think, led the league this week in passing yards. Maybe not. Someone had 300. Martinez had 300, I think.
I was going to say, Martinez had the first 300-yard game.
Or maybe, was it Martinez who had 300? Or was it Memphis guy who had 300?
No, I think it was Martinez.
Okay, well, anyway, Perez is leading the league in passing yards. Maybe that's what it was that I saw. which Mr. Spring Football, you know?
I mean, he's springing it up. It's a shame that no one else on his team is. Yeah.
Sal Canella, I think, got another touchdown.
Sal Canella bad.
Wow.
Win a game, Sal.
He did not have a touchdown. Vaughns. I don't know who Vaughns is, but he had 9 receptions for 109 yards and a tutty. And Peyton. Not to be confused with Peyton Manning.
Is it Tyler Vaughns?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on a saucy play last week.
Oh.
He threw a 2-point conversion.
You think I would remember?
I definitely.
Our own podcast.
I don't listen to it. I might edit that out.
Yeah, so the defenders were looking a little questionable all game, but Teamu, oh man, when they showed the video of him on the sidelines after they hit the game-winning field goal, man, just made me love my team because he was so hype, and I was like, that's the energy I needed.
I mean, that's back-to-back fourth quarter comebacks for your DC defenders.
They really know when to show up.
I mean,
they may get it hard on me all game though.
They do. You can say that this team's got a lot of hushpa. And they know how to come back and grind out a win. Or you could say they beat two winless teams, and these teams know how to lose more than the defenders know how to win.
You could, but I'm not going to say that.
I wouldn't imagine you would.
So you said that who had the two-pointer?
Last week?
Ty Scott, right?
That fourth and 12, yeah.
He had the fourth and 12?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There's a play-by-play option on the Fox Sports. Fourth and 12. Jordan Teamu, pass deep right, complete to DC 46. Catch made by T. Scott at DC 46.
All right, yeah, I told you.
Damn, man, look at you. What a host.
It's almost like I watched the games.
A hostess with the mostest. I watched the games, too. Just not apparently in depth enough.
Well, I love spring football, and this was a great game. It was a real heart pounder because I bet DC plus two, or to cover two, and they did not. I should have redid my bets. I was an idiot when they changed the line to have them plus one for minus two. So dumb that I didn't do that. Because it would have made
Didn't have the odds when we did our podcast last week. We had to make ours up.
I know, right? I wonder if we'll have to do the same thing again.
Yeah, I haven't checked yet. That'd be a good idea.
I mean, we're probably going to, so let's not lose this flow and flow right into the second game. We hinted at it a little bit about how the Stallions with, what is his name, Adrian Martinez?
Yes.
With his first start this season, crushing it. My Lord, if he didn't earn the starting job with that, I don't know what you can do.
Which is weird because I thought Matt Corral was doing a great job. And then all of a sudden, like, Martinez, bam, you're starting.
Yeah, don't get hurt.
And apparently they have a championship-winning quarterback as their third-string quarterback. This is what the announcer said on TV. He is their third-string quarterback, and they don't even start him.
Wait, like, he was on the team when they won the USFL?
I don't know if he was on the USFL or if he won a different kind of championship. So, but they said that whoever is the head coach over there, whew, he really knows what he's doing.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Only one team's got a champion starting, and that's Mr. Spring Football. Back to the Renegades, baby.
I thought that's where you were going with this.
But no, seriously, Stallions – holy
crap. Stallions are showing that they are the team to beat. They steamrolled the Showboats.
Like, if
Cookus was getting killed out there.
Oh, my God.
He was Road Cookus.
I love the little interaction him and the coach had on the sideline when they benched him. He was like, look, dude, you're getting clobbered out there. I think he literally said clobbered. So it was nice to hear, like, I think he even told him, he was like, dude, this isn't performance. Like, you're fine. It's just you're dying and we're down by, like, 3 scores.
Yeah.
With, like, 4 minutes to go.
That is cool. I believe in the Cookus. You know, like I said before, I like the Showboats. So, I'm starting to like the Stallions just because they're so dominant.
I mean,
I'm bandwagoning. Even though one episode ago I said I would not bandwagon. Here we are.
Like I said, you like 7 out of 8 teams.
Well, I just love spring football.
Hopefully the Roughnecks somehow come back and win the championship so you're upset. And you'll know how I felt last year when the Renegades won and I liked every team but them.
Well, I do feel for Reed Sinet. He's really trying his best out there, man. He's quite the leader. I feel like his team isn't buying in, though. They were, you know, because you get all the mic access. He's really trying his best out there to lead them, and they just let him down. He also let them down a few times, like, there was a big fourth down, and he's like, come on, guys, we just need one. And then the dude was wide open. He threw her way over his head. So, you know, that's kind of deflating.
It's like, we just need one. He eats it 40 yards downfield.
Yeah, so they could have easily had that and made a little bit of a comeback. But we're not talking about that game anyway. We're talking about the Showboat Stallions game. But yeah, Cookus got killed out there. What'd you say? Memphis has 17 sacks on the season already? Which
The Stallions have 17
sacks. Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't know. I must have been reading the name Memphis.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely insane.
It's like six a game. Hard to compete when you're getting sacked six times a game and their offense.
Yeah, they had eight sacks that game. Yeah. Eight sacks.
I think six were on Cookus before they benched him. Dude, did you see him? And the one didn't even count where they destroyed him in the end zone.
Oh, yeah, where I thought they had the touchdown?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And he got up. That guy's a tough man.
Yeah, he was getting beat, but he wasn't cooked. Don't stick a fork in him yet, boys.
Man, Cookus was 15-22 on all that before they put Williams in, who was 11-19. They put Williams in pretty early, I guess.
No, I think he went in the fourth. It was just...
Well, 19 attempts is a lot.
They were only throwing the ball because they were down by so much.
True.
They were getting cooked.
They're getting cooked us.
At least Papali had another touchdown, though.
Yeah, we say that name a lot on the pod, and Papali is killing it. I love Papali.
I mean, if you couldn't tell, we're white, so it's hard not to like them white boy wide receivers. And he's from Philly. We're Eagles fans. Double love. So we love him. We love Cookus. The rest of the Showboats really need to start showing us something or get on the boat out of this league.
I love it. Which segues us perfectly into the Panthers and Roughnecks game. And I wanted to talk about Perry having such a great game. Because like I said earlier in the pod, I was sad that they benched him for a little bit. But he was 16 of 19. My man missed three passes.
How many touchdowns did he throw for?
Three touchdowns.
I thought he ran for two.
Well, then he must have scored them all. It says Panthers beat Roughnecks, led by Perry's three TDs. Maybe he ran two and had one. Okay. Click on the index.
So his five touchdowns would be insane. Then they put up more than 34.
Yeah, so he threw one and ran for two.
Yeah,
and that should be in the stat at the very beginning. Fox Sports, you darn you bastard.
He's probably we'll see when we get to player stats, but he's probably leading the league in rushing touchdowns because he's had two touchdown performances, so he's got four.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else would be leading.
Nah. I mean, yeah, if the Panthers can do that on offense with how disgusting their defense is. I saw that Kai Nakua had a red zone pick.
Yeah.
Points off the board.
Nakua killing it.
I give him praise. You say, where's he at? And then he shows up the next week. So
yep.
I'm liking to see that. I think the Panthers are a team that could make a push.
I think so, too.
I think if the Stallions, you know, shoot themselves in the foot, the Panthers could see their way taking advantage of it. Like, I could see the Stallions playing their worst game ever and still beating the Roughnecks.
Absolutely.
But, like, I don't think they have that luxury against the Michigan Panthers.
So we needed to say the name Marcus Sims because he had some big plays this week.
Oh, yeah. He had the 76-yarder last week and what, like 64-yarder this week?
66.
He likes the number 6. Or was it 74 last week? Who cares?
It was 74 last week, as we said.
66.
So, but yeah, I definitely want to see more out of this guy. He is amazing. Missed that, make that one dude miss, and then made like three or four other dudes miss, and just off to the races.
Dude, he's fast and shifty. Like, I think
fast,
it might be
like,
a little early for us to make our can he do it in the NFL kind of thing, but I think he might be. I think he
you
might
did that
be
like week one.
To, yeah, and I'm gonna do it again. That's still too.
Garber
early.
Would be a great person in the NFL next season.
Garber was in the NFL last season. So.
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was. On the Raiders or the Steelers?
The Raiders.
I think Garby's played for the Raiders.
We'll have to look into that for the pod. Roughneck stats, anything to write home about here? Not really. Sinet looked kind of bad. I just talked about that one play that he needed and threw it over that guy's head. Rushing, no one had more than 35 yards.
That was rough.
Not a lot of receiving to be had either, so... We're going to need to see a lot more out of the Roughnecks before we can confidently say that they're not the absolute worst team in the UFL.
I've already got them marked as the worst team.
Same. I think it's going to be a long time before they get a win. They might be a winless team this season.
A winless team? If they go winless, you think they get relegated?
Who would they bring in?
What if they brought your Sea Dragons back?
That would be amazing.
They'd have to bring in a USFL team. But then again, if the XFL wins the championship and they kick out that USFL team, we should get another XFL team for dominance.
Yeah.
Relegate,
I like it.
Bring back
even though
the Seattle.
We already have more XFL teams.
Well, it's another XFL team. It's only going to be six. The Stallions were 7X.
You're right. We took the wrong one. We need a do-over. Danucci comes back out of retirement.
Danucci plays for the Broncos.
I know. I'm just kidding. Josh Gordon comes in blazing hard. He's got a special helmet that he can have on so it smokes and filters out. So our last game of the season.
Of the season. 3-week season. It's fast. It's intense. We'll catch you guys next year.
Battlehawks Brahmas. This one.
Brahmas.
Yeah, this one was the heartbreaker. The Battlehawks proved that they are a force to be reckoned with in this league.
No.
And they did it all from the beginning. I don't think that they trailed once.
They did not. The Brahmas got off to a little bit of a slow start, and that hurt them because the Battlehawks came out guns a-blazing. But I will say, I don't look at injury reports too much. I probably should, but I don't, and I don't regret it. I know the Brahmas lost their best pass rusher last week against Memphis. He missed the whole game.
Oh, damn.
I think they lost their center, too, the dude who scored the touchdown.
Oh, no.
So I don't know. I think they might have been out two decent players. So I think when this rematch comes a-brewing, the horns will be out, and they'll be sticking.
They'll have to do it in St. Louis, though. They came to Battlehawks, Brahma Nation, and laid down the pipe.
They did not lay down the pipe. They got lucky. Those refs were giving them so many calls. I didn't hear Dean Blandino one step. Talking about how hot A.J. McCarron's wife was.
Dean, why is this one camera trained solely on A.J.'s wife? So A.J. McCarron dominated with the arm and the legs. How many rushing touchdowns did he have?
Just one.
Okay. I thought he had two because he was lights out.
One rushing play and he dominated.
Well, and Sailors, the running back, who, again, is different than Durant, who we were high on last week. Sailors was apparently not active last week. This was first week active, and he really showed up.
Is that just what the Battlehawks are going to do, is just activate 10 different running backs for every game?
They must.
Fresh legs.
I don't know what the strategy is there, but it's working for them. Butler had a huge game, biggest of the season, 6 receptions, 87 yards on a tutty. And then Shepard, not much. Actually, Butler was their whole team receiving. Yeah, Butler was the reason the Brahmas lost.
Yeah, I know. It was very upsetting. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they even shut Aitman down, too.
Yeah, Aitman had one catch for 3 yards.
Yeah, they like...
And Shepard, our second favorite boy, our third favorite boy, I should say, on this team, had 3 catches for 19 yards. Like, nothing.
Yeah, the Brahmas just... Their defense was the whole two games before this, the whole season, they were bend, don't break, but they were breaking a lot against the Battlehawks.
Yeah.
I think that's what did it. So I think they might have been a little gassed from the Showboats game. So they got to get faster starts, I think. You know,
they haven't had any fast starts all season, though.
I guess they did. They were destroying the defenders. They were up like 20-6.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, they do suck. They're done playing winless teams since they play the Renegades again. So have fun losing for the next couple weeks.
Oh, man, this is going to make the 4th and 12 real hard.
It's going to be an interesting 4th and 12 because I did lose a little faith in my Brahmas. But then again, I do feel vindicated that I said the Battlehawks were the only team that could compete with the Stallions.
They competed.
Yeah, I think a rough game against the Panthers. But who knows, the Panthers actually look sneaky good too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to see the Panthers play the Stallions.
What do you mean again?
Yeah, because they played in the first week, right?
Second week.
Okay.
That was 20-13.
Only last week.
Yeah. They had a chance to.
Yeah, that was a close game. That's right.
I mean, their offense wasn't doing much besides the big touchdown, but I think they, you know, maybe they'll format things and adjust a little better. You don't just pop 34 out of nowhere because the Roughnecks were really only good on defense. So I think the Panthers are slowly but surely getting it together.
There's some good-ass games this week.
There have been good-ass games all 3 weeks.
You're right, but like exceptionally good this week. Except for the gun-to-my-head game. I'm disappointed, though, because I was saying how all the games were two on Saturday and two on Sunday, but this week
we have two
three on Saturday.
Two at the same time. Two games are at 7.
What the hell? And one is listed. Okay, so I'm confused because one is listed at 7, and then the one underneath that one is listed at 12:30, and then the one underneath that is listed at 7. So it made you think that it's like 1, 3, and 7. But then you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, 7 and 7. Why? What the hell? Well, they're going to make me choose between the Stallions and the Defenders. And they're not even going to make me choose because they're both on Fox, which means whichever one you get is whichever one you get.
Oh, they're both on Fox?
Yeah.
That stinks because I have ESPN Plus.
That doubly stinks. You have to illegally watch these games.
Well, that's what I normally
do. I mean, I'm advocating for it. If they don't want to show me this game that I want to pay them to watch.
Yeah, I pay for ESPN Plus. Disney, hook me up. Well,
it's only a matter of time before Disney owns Fox, too.
Disney does own Fox.
They do?
Yes.
What the hell? I should absolutely be able to watch this game. To be part of my ESPN Plus membership.
Do you know how many people went to a Beyonce concert, but you don't know Disney owns Fox?
I know them. Less people went to that Beyonce concert than went to the St. Louis Battlehawks game. Chuds. But yeah, so they're playing in Ford Field, and after the game, a lot of people were going up to what's-his-face, EJ Perry, because he took time to sign autographs and stuff, shake hands with all the fans that were down there after the game. And a lot of the people were just like, please stay in Michigan, please stay here at the Lions Stadium. Like, and then in the locker rooms, they had Detroit Lions chairs still set up. So I thought that was cool, like a little piece of history. But I thought attendance looked pretty good this week.
Oh, no, I heard attendance was awful.
I heard people complaining about the one game's attendance, but like what I saw was the stadiums were pretty full.
I saw a tweet about it. I don't know who said it, so they don't get credit.
Probably Mike Mitchell, a resident UFL specialist reporter, I should say.
But I saw the numbers weren't that good.
Arlington's, that's what people were bitching about, the Arlington attendance.
Yeah, so.
And that's one thing, but like.
The total for all four games was 39,418,
which
so
is
under
less than
one Battlehawks game.
Yeah. Well, they weren't played at the big stadiums this week. A lot of people were on the road.
Well, I mean,
but I think it was a Showboats game, maybe, that I thought that there was a lot of people at.
Well, the Stallions had their home opener, so you would think that would have been popular. The Brahmas had 12,000 of the 39, so I'm not mad at that.
And I remember when I was watching it, I thought, wow, it's really loud in there. The Alamo Dome,
yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
A sick name.
It is.
But yeah, so I don't know why attendance is so bad, but I mean, because the Brahmas are one of the big draws, I'm pretty sure. Like, it was Battlehawks, Brahmas, and Defenders.
Yeah.
And then I would have thought the Stallions, Beer Snakes.
Yeah, you would think that the Stallions would have a bigger base, but I guess people are just like, oh, this team's so good, I don't even have to go watch them, they're going to win.
Yeah, but that makes it more fun.
Yeah, I mean, if I lived close, I would absolutely be going to see games.
Do you think their ticket prices are high because they're good?
I don't know. I would assume that.
You would think
it's even
selling out, yeah. Because I saw a lot of ads during the games for buy one, get one tickets.
That was for all the teams, I feel like.
For every team but Defenders, which is a game we're trying to go to.
So what do we do after the roundup? Is this player stats?
Well, we finished.
Everyone's favorite.
Yeah, it's the reason you all keep coming back for more. Now we do the weekly roundup, and then I think we go into sauciest plays, then ad break, player stats. Oh no, power rankings are after this.
Right,
we do
rankings.
Power rankings.
And then we take our break.
After this.
All right, well, you're the power ranking god, so why don't you bust out them power rankings?
All right, well, it is time for my sauciest plays of the week. Number 5 saucy play coming in is from the Renegades and Mr. Spring Football himself. 3rd and 14 near midfield, Perez in the shotgun takes the snap and sidearms it to Tyler Vaughn on a short crosser, who chucks it immediately to Devion Smith, who will not be stopped as he rumbles for a 20-yard gainer. Stoops will not be stopped. He is your trick play guy.
Wow, what a banger.
The number 4 play is the man leading the league in receiving yards, Deion Kane, getting points for his team before the half when he makes the toe-tapping sideline catch with 2 seconds left in the half. Great catch and a perfect throw from Adrian Martinez.
Wow, what a banger.
For number three, we got our boy Vinny Papale getting open on the short post and using his wheels to finish the rest, outrunning the defense for the 24-yard touchdown, Showboat's only touchdown of the game. Papale is 66% of this team's touchdowns. Repeating, of course.
Wow, what a banger.
Number two bums me out, but I am trying to prove I'm unbiased here, so this one is against my beloved Brahmas. They got the Battlehawks into 3rd-and-17 down by 2. This possession could turn the momentum, but oh wait, McCarron has the cleanest pocket ever and hits Akeem Butler in the middle of 3 defenders. Butler, using all of his 6'5 frame, reels in the pass, killing me a little on the inside.
Totally, couldn't agree more, Ian. What a play.
And finally, our number one play, from a player I think we'll see frequently on this list, Marcus the Motor Sims, making back-to-back appearances on Saucy Plays, as well as back-to-back weeks of a 60-plus yard touchdown. We got 1st-and-10, and Perry is literally about to get sacked. He barely gets this check down to Sims, who turns his hands into a shovel to scoop this one up, but he's able to skirt the first defender, burn past the second, deke the third, and make 2 more fall down as he scampers all the way home, 66 yards, touchdown!
And look at him go all the way, touchdown! Wow, that was a great lineup of plays this week. I couldn't have said it better myself if I was live in studio. Who is the worst team in the league? On 3, ready, 1, Houston Roughnecks. Number 8 overall, taking home the first pick of the draft, is the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, all I have in my notes is Roughnecks suck, man. They don't get more airtime than this. Number 7!
The Renegades!
The Renegades!
They'll probably move up next week, but right now they're sitting pretty because they're one of the only two unwinless teams.
I don't even know if I can move, unless the Showboats get destroyed. Spoiler, they're 6. But unless the Showboats get destroyed, I can't move the Renegades up for beating the Roughnecks. And I got a decent joke, I think. We can cut this if it's not good. But I got Luis Perez as Mr. Spring Football. Too bad the rest of this team is still hibernating.
That's a good one. I like
that. Yeah, I felt like that was pretty good.
Mr. Spring Football. I just...
I love that name.
Every time he was lined up the defenders, I just kept saying to myself, ah, Mr. Spring Football.
I just keep going Stoopsie.
Stoopsie. All right, well, number 6, the Showboats. I agree with you. Again, the records kind of reflect this. Right now, we're nothing too saucy here.
Yeah, I mean, and also they stink in the fourth quarter. I had how much they were getting outscored last week. I didn't feel like doing it again this week, but I think they've scored like 9 points in the fourth quarter and given up 30-40.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. They need to lock that down.
Then this is where it gets interesting because we have a bunch of 2-1 teams.
Yeah.
So who do you have as the worst 2-1 team?
The worst 2-1 team,
We'll say it on 3. Ready? 1, 2, defenders.
I was going to say maybe the Panthers, but the arguments can absolutely be made. The defenders, you said it before, they've only beat winless teams and not by much.
Yeah, exactly. The 2 teams they beat, we have power ranked at 8-7.
And they were clawing back.
If these games were 59 minutes and 50 seconds long instead of 60 minutes, they'd be 0-3.
Well, when you put it that way, I guess I can be persuaded. My bias is hard to sway, but that is a good opinion. So I assume number 5, then.
Right. Was number 5.
Number 4 is going to be the Panthers. The Panthers?
So, I actually don't have a number 4 this week.
What?
I have a tie. What? I have a tie for 3rd with the Panthers and my Brahmas. I could not decide which of these teams to put above the other. So I decided to give them the shared ranking at 3.
Wow.
It may be bias in the Brahmas, but I feel like a close loss shouldn't kill them to a team that's power ranked good. But the same thing for the Panthers. And the Panthers beat the Battlehawks.
Yeah.
So like.
And we have the Battlehawks ranked above them still.
Yeah, but I just trust that QB grooves.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like Brahmas and Panthers, as a coin flip for who I would take. But, like, Baez is going to say, oh, the Brahmas lost this week and the Panthers won, so they should be better. But I don't think that's the case. These are power rankings.
Yeah, you know what, man? We're not lame like everybody else. Everybody else does, you know, 1 through 8. We're gonna give two teams the same power ranking spot, and I like it.
Let's go.
So, yeah, number two then, the Battlehawks. They really must listen to the pod because they showed me a thing or two. They made me eat my words, and they're the Battlehawks of old. And they can clearly lead games in competitive divisions and tight games all the way through and just put people in their place.
Yeah, they started off cooking and they were like, hey, yeah, they were right. They brought up Akeem Butler. There you are. The Brahmas just didn't throw Cody Lattimore. Why?
Yep.
Feed him the ball. And then Garbies missed Kirkland early on a pass. That haunted me.
Yeah. That one stuck with you.
Yeah, I think Kirkland could have gotten a huge gainer, and then they could have scored a touchdown, and then they would have won.
Yeah, Kirkland only had like 50 yards. Not that many.
Yeah, Kirkland's still a beast, though.
Absolutely. He's 1 for 1 last week, this past week, so he's got 100% passer rating.
Hell yeah, he's a beast.
Well, number one, that is no secret. Everyone knows it. Who is going to beat the Stallions?
Yeah, that's just the question. Now, this is the only spicy thing I can think of. What happens first? Did the Stallions lose a game or the Roughnecks win a game?
Jeez. The Roughnecks' best chance is this week. We'll find out this week if that is ever going to come true.
Oh, yeah, and our 4th and 12. We talked about it last week. Gun to my co-host's head already. We got the 0-3 Renegades versus the 0-3 Roughnecks.
That is the only game on Sunday. It is going to be a thriller.
Oh, they needed a whole day for this game. Jesus.
4:20, we get 3 games, and 2 of them are at the same time. I do not like this.
And then you know what? I'm actually off this Sunday, so I can spend all day prepping and getting ready for watching this amazing Roughnecks Renegades
game. The 2 o'clock game all day. Spend all day good. Yeah, it's a weird time.
That is such a weird time. I expected it to be at noon.
Yeah. Well, that's the power rankings, and we are going to go on to the 4th and 12, right?
I think we still need to give players some
love.
Oh,
we do need to give players some love with player love. Passing yard leader, already alluded to this before, Luis Perez, Mr. Spring Football. 0-3, Mr. Spring Football, 737 yards, leading the league. Leading the league by more than 100. And surprisingly, Te'Amu is above A.J. McCarron on this list. McCarron was getting it done with his legs last week, though.
Well, Te'Amu's always down, so he has to throw the ball. What's crazy is Perez only has one pick. He's throwing one interception to 4 touchdowns and has all them yards, and his team can't win a game. Like, he is actually playing like Mr. Spring Football.
I told you he was playing well. But no one can catch up to Chase Garbers with his league-leading 6 touchdowns.
Ba-ba-ba.
A.J. McCarron's close, though, with 5.
Does A.J. McCarron have a pick yet? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, actually.
No.
I can't see that stat on my phone. So
scroll over.
Scroll over.
Where are you looking at stats?
Pass right? Interception.
You on Fox Sports? Also, you on Fox Sports?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Sorry,
Fox
0.
Fox looks so different than mine.
Really?
Yeah, mine looks so much better.
Well, yours is bright. Mine is dark.
Yeah, that's
I use dark mode because I'm not a loser.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying mine can scroll over and look at multiple.
Oh, shows. Yeah, I don't know. I can scroll over, too. They're all down here. Passing INTs, passing yards.
I know, I just have to scroll over. Mine's like more traditional stats, so better. But yeah, Taiamalu is up there for everything, too. So he's not playing terribly. Now his rating is 75.8. That's not that good.
He has a couple INTs. He up there on the INTs. Just like everything else. Perry is leading the league, like we said, though, with 4 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm just curious that how many passing yards Martinez has. Since he's only played like 1.5 games.
Passing yards. Martinez, 448.
All right, so he's in 7th. I mean, dude, he's beating Sinet, but I think Sinet's just got the starts.
He did. He just got started last week.
But, dude, he's close to Kokus and Garbers.
Yeah.
And, dude, we didn't even give Perry or Boy any love for being 4th on the list. He's competing with the big boys.
Yes, he is.
But he's got more touchdowns than or more interceptions than passing touchdowns.
Well, so that's because he's leading the league in rushing touchdowns. He knows his place.
he's a dual threat. will throw interceptions and run touchdowns.
Leading the rushing yards category is Adrian Martinez, so 161 rushing yards. That's more than Marble for Beham and Durant for St. Louis and Hills for Michigan. Once again, Hills had a bad week, though.
Yeah, Hills is a one-hit wonder. It's looking like, so is Durant. He had, 30 yards?
Yeah, that's right. Saylor came up.
I mean, and Maribel and Martinez were already up here, so I don't think anybody really had a great running day. I mean, there's your boy Perry down there with 102.
Yeah.
And then Devion Smith, I think, is his name for Arlington. He's on there. These guys aren't sucking.
Doing better than I could, that's for sure.
I don't know. I think I compete with some of these guys.
Deion Kane leading the league in receiving yards. This is a name we'll probably be mentioning a lot more on the podcast because he had a big day last week, and I'm sure it's only going to get bigger with him and Martinez connected on a lot more passes.
You know what? I'll say watching those connections, I certainly get bigger.
Wow. Okay. Number two in the league now is Marcus Sims, who we just talked about. He has 218 receiving yards, right behind Kane's 240.
Yeah, but look at his yak, 124 yards. Woo! After catch. This dude is fast.
That is a yak-a-mole. And then Vaughn's for Arlington at 182 yards, and Aitman 177. He did not have a big week this week, so that is
understandable. Aitman really fell from grace there.
Where's Deontay Burnett on this list? Deontay Burnett is not even on this list. Wow.
Because he's been stinking.
He was such a big receiver last year.
I mean, Kirkland isn't on the list either.
Kirkland's number six, 166.
It's not bad, and he's got two touchdowns. One of the only people with multiple, so he's still doing his Kirkland thing. But I need more from you, Jontre. I need you to win some games for your Browns.
Receiving touchdowns, Aitman still with three. Nothing too exciting here on the list. Sims has two, Papali has two, Kirkland has two. Everybody else has one. One or none.
Yeah, let's see who's leading the league in sacks. Oh, my goodness. It's not even close.
I assume it's somewhere from Beham.
Yeah, it's Carlos Davis with 6.5.
And, oh, my God. The closest guy is three.
He's double second place.
Over double.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got 10.
Beham.
Ten solo tackles, too. What the hell is this guy?
It's a freak.
Now, let me see. Okay, now leading is San Antonio. Some guy's got 16 solo tackles. That's crazy.
So even though Darius Shepherd has not been balling out, he is leading the league in all-purpose yards and punt return yards, which is pretty cool.
That is. He was an XFL special player of the year.
Yeah.
Remember they said that. I'm looking for who's leading the league in TFLs now. Give me them TFLs. Of course, it's Davis again.
Yeah?
Yeah, with four. So clearly that means sacks don't count. So this guy's got 10.5 tackles behind the line of scrimmage.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's three plays a game. He's just going to blow up. Like make negative, not even like win. Just make negative. That's scary. All right, any other player stats we got?
I don't know. I think that rounds up player stats. They haven't changed that much, I feel like.
Yeah. Then if
we need big weeks. Big weeks, guys.
Big weeks.
Awkward silence. Cut that part out.
This episode of Behind the Sticks UFL is sponsored by sandwiches. Everyone has had a sandwich in their life. They're convenient, easy to eat, easy to make, and delicious. But not everyone knows what a sandwich is exactly. A sandwich is defined as an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them. This is the textbook definition of a sandwich, proving that a hot dog is, in fact, not a sandwich, as it's a bun, not two pieces of bread. So enjoy a sandwich with any filling you'd like as you listen and put the hot dogs back in the fridge.
Fourth and 12.
It's been converted twice, and we're going to convert again. Fourth and 12, everyone's favorite segment.
Defenders versus Stallions. Oh, once again, we should
say. Why are you starting with not the first game?
Because that is the way it is listed on the Fox Sports app. All right, redo. First game, Showboats, Battlehawks. And before that, again, I will say we do not have odds. We are making them up again because the bookmakers hate us and we can't do our jobs properly.
Yeah, I think odds were released Wednesday. So, yeah, we record Mondays and we ain't changing that.
And we can't right now because of our living situation, we can't record separately. So we have to record this on Monday. Yeah, and you guys just have to be okay with that. And it seems like you were last week. We had big numbers last week.
I mean, we were.
iHeartRadio contacted us?
I'd say we were pretty close. We were pretty close on the numbers that we pulled out. And this week, we're not pulling out. We're getting it all the way in there.
I love it. So this is why iHeartRadio contacted us. Not because they wanted to syndicate us. Because they want to take us off the air. Showboats Battlehawks, 12:30 on ABC. What do you think this one will be? A 3-point faves? I think it's going to have to be a close game.
I don't know.
Although the Showboats in the fourth quarter are not like the Battlehawks.
The Showboats just got destroyed, and the Battlehawks just
It's at the Battlehawks.
So. Yeah, calls the law. I think they'll probably be 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah? I say 7 is what they're going to need.
7?
Well, no. They'll be 5.5, but they're going to win by at least 7, I think.
Yeah, I would say still take the Battlehawks. The Showboats haven't showed me anything.
Other than Vinny Valley.
Yeah, and he's got 2 touchdowns. I think they've scored 2 touchdowns all year, maybe 3. Like, 1 a game. Ding, dong, ding. And then they don't score in the fourth quarter. So I think the Showboats are really bad. I think they give the Renegades have the best chance of jumping the Showboats, I think, as of right now. Because I think Cook is clobbered us, and he's banged up.
What do you think the over-under? 41.5? Are you going over-under?
I think this is another 43.5 one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, think about it. One of the past 2 Battlehawks totals been.
Have they been 43?
I think they've both been in the 50s, right?
Oh, I thought you meant the betting odds. Sorry.
Oh, no, because then they beat the Brahmas 31-24, and then they beat the Renegades 27-24.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they give up 24 points a game.
Okay.
So, I think it would be over in Battlehawks.
A week of Explover?
I don't know if we're going whole week Explover again.
But definitely the Battlehawks.
Definitely Battlehawks. I think they're an Explover type of team.
All right, so we're taking overs, and we're taking the Battlehawks, taking with the points they're going to cover.
Yeah, over 43.5. Battlehawks cover 5.5.
All right, next up is the Defenders Stallions. I'm going to say right now, I'm not confident the Defenders are going to be the first team to knock off the Stallions. It's at Birmingham. Not that they have a huge home crowd yet, but I don't know. I don't think the Defenders can do it. They're my team. Beer Snakes, love them. Not at home. Don't think we're pulling this one out of our butts like we did last week.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's going to be a more generous spread than it should. I think it's only going to be like 4, 4.5. Because people are like, we love that Te'amu guy. But guess what? He's going to get 7 sacks in his face. I'm sorry.
I think
he's
it's going to be more than 7 times. Again. Like they'll probably give him 4 or 5 like you're saying, but it's going to be Stallions are going to win by more than 7 for sure.
Yeah, and I think the Defenders have been a lot of overs lately too, so I think this game might be another high one.
Okay. So we're taking an over, and we're taking the Birmingham.
I say over. How many points do you think are in this game?
How many points do I think are in this game? I'd say over 45 at least.
I was thinking 45 is the number. I think that's a good one. So,
yeah, wow.
So and whatever it is, guys, if it's 45 is what you're after, pick that.
I wish that we would have stats, but I think we're doing a really good job with our own stats because we're just so knowledgeable.
We call them like we see.
We almost hit – I almost hit all my parlay of the games picked last week. So I'm just saying, you know, just saying.
Same. I was only off on the Brahmas, and then I was only off on over-under on the Panthers game because I didn't know they could score 34 points.
All right.
Which is a perfect segue to Panthers at Brahmas.
It is.
Also, it's on Saturday, April 20th at 7.
This one will be the more exciting 7 o'clock game, in my opinion. We all know the Stallions are going to whoop up all the Defenders. But the Panthers Brahmas, I don't know. I honestly, I'm not sure who I'm taking here. I'm going to wait to hear your biased opinion on the Brahmas.
So home teams normally get points.
Okay. It is Brahmas home. Alamo Doom.
I was looking at the Vegas odds for championship winner. Brahmas are ahead of the Panthers.
Okay.
So I think home field's 2 points. I think they give them 1 point. I think it's 3.5 Brahmas favorite. I think the over-under on this one is they go back to their 41.5 way. And I think this is an under game where the Brahmas win by 2 points. So if it's 2.5, don't take it. But Brahmas money line.
Wow. Here's what I got.
I refuse to not take Brahmas all season long.
I got Panthers. I'm taking the Panthers with this, and they're definitely going to cover whatever, 2 points or whatever. It doesn't matter because they're going to be giving that to the Brahmas. So I'm taking Panthers, and I'm taking the over because I also think they're going to score more points.
I don't know. I feel like every other week, E.J. Perry runs for 2 touchdowns. So this is the other week. He's not going to run for 2.
Well, it's a small sample size, and I hope you're wrong. So just like you were about Defenders losing to the Renegades last week, you were almost really right, though.
What? No, I said the defenders were going to win.
No, you didn't.
I said take Renegades if they're giving them 4 points. They really, you only needed 1.5. Check the tapes.
I can't.
I lost because I bet when the defenders were favored by 2. That's why I lost my parlay.
Gotcha. That's right. You sucked. Were just
bitching
about
that. It was a $90
that.
Leg.
Yeah, damn.
I hit 5 out of 6.
Big leg, you know what I mean. Sunday's game. Those were all 420 games, just in case you're wondering. 421, the thriller of the week.
Let's get the gun out to my co-host's head.
Oh, yes. We need the gun. Renegades Roughnecks. Who will win the only matchup? I'm confident now, though, after last week, that the Renegades are going to win this game. They just look that much better than the Roughnecks. I don't think the Roughnecks win a game all season. I'm confident in my stature now at the end of this podcast.
I honestly don't think the Roughnecks win a game all season. Unless they play the Showboats again, then I think they got this. But, yeah, I got Mr. Spring Football. Stoopsie coming in hot. I think this is their shonen anime arc. This is where they get their ass kicked and they're ready to come back. And they're going to find a way to go 3-7 this year. And this is the first of their victories. Let's go, Mr. Spring Football, Luis Perez. I say he finally throws another interception. It's a pick six. But he throws 4 total touchdowns.
Oh.
So 1 to the other team, 3 for himself.
Gotcha. Okay. What's the spread? How many points you giving to the Renegades? Or to the Roughnecks?
Now, Roughnecks, dude, they're just spread for this game too. I'd say, if anything, they're probably giving the Renegades, 2.
Yeah? Even though they probably deserve much more than that.
Yeah,
they're,
and I think they're covering,
definitely the better
and
team.
The over-under is probably, 40.5.
I think it'll probably be a little... I think it'll be over that. Personally, if I would bet, if it's 40.5, I would bet over. Because the Renegades can score points. The Roughnecks have proven they can at least score 20. So...
Yeah, that's half of 40.
Exactly.
And they're not going to win. So.
Exactly. So,
do you think the Renegades can score more than 23 points? That's basically how this bet goes. And I do.
I'm confident they can score 24.
I said Mr. Spring Football was going to throw 3 touchdowns. He's going to have 24 points himself. It's hard for me not to pick him.
So now that 4th-and-12 is over, I want to tell you and the listeners the rest of the schedule for the Roughnecks going forward. Because it's a doozy.
All right, I'm ready.
After they get their butts kicked this week by the Renegades, they're going to get their butts handed to them by the Stallions.
That's
absolutely
a, that's a
handed
fact.
To them.
That's just a fact.
Then they have to go to St. Louis and get their butts kicked there as well.
Their game against St. Louis is away. Perfect.
Then they have to go back home and get their butts handed to them by the Brahmas.
The Brahmas horns out for that one.
That's week 7. I'm assuming the Brahmas will have at least 4 wins by then and be the clearly dominant team. And then week 8, after they're done getting kicked by the Brahmas, they have to go back and play the Stallions in Birmingham again. Week 9, they have to play the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers will probably be a playoff team.
Yep, and we all know that the Roughnecks still don't have a win. So week 10, they have to play the Showboats, finally.
All right, week 10.
They might get
week
a pity 10, win.
Week 10, baby.
Both those teams won't be in the playoffs and will need help. So that is looking rough for the Roughnecks. Do not bet on that championship run for the Roughnecks.
Yeah, so back to what we were saying. Seattle Sea Dragons 2025. Roughnecks are gone.
Yes, Spaghetti has pitched that the Roughnecks will be so bad that they're going to kick them out of the league and replace them with the Seattle Sea Dragons.
Yeah, relegate them. Find an XFL team, not a USFL team, an XFL team that had good attendance and bring them back.
Did I already mention about Danucci coming out of retirement? That was on the bottom right.
It doesn't matter. Bring it up again. Who's coming out of retirement that still plays for the Broncos?
Josh Jordan with this helmet. Well, I think that concludes this podcast, right?
Yeah, we did our 4th-and-12. I mean, I made some MVP rankings if you want those. I don't think we can bet on MVP.
We can't, but go ahead. You give us your MVP rankings.
All right.
AJ McCarron.
AJ Hotwife McCarron.
The reason I didn't say that is because number 2 was AJ Hotwife McCarron. That's his actual wife.
So AJ McCarron is number 1 on my list. And I got Adrian Martinez. I think he's getting the start this week, solo start. if he gets the rest of them, plays like he is, Stallions are best team in the league, that's normally a recipe for MVP.
Yeah, totally.
Number three is Chase Garbers.
Someone's biased.
Yeah, shut up. You know who number four is? Tell me.
Mr. Spring Football.
No, it's Jordan Bam. Mr. Spring Football at four. What are you, high? He's number five. And then an honorable mention, number six. We got Stoopsie Pop Stoop. I think he's done enough on and off the field to at least be mentioned in the MVP.
I love that. I'm so glad we didn't end the podcast. Did the MVP rankings.
Yeah, so
you can't get MVP rankings like that from of that quality and that insider information anywhere else in the UFL.
It's just coming at you hot and fast right to your face. It's the news you need and the people you trust.
Sign off. And thank you for listening to Behind the Sticks UFL. This podcast is produced by your boys, Housetown Spaghetti Productions. Our music intro is brought to you especially by Space Cricket. You can find him on the Spotify and wherever you get your music. Big shout out to Space Cricket. And don't forget to follow our socials. We got, you can follow us on Twitter, X, Behind the Sticks with the X. You can also find us on TikTok and Instagram. Drop that like. Wow, what a banger!